Alan Kring Productions, in association with Emergent Light Studio, presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, for spring semester 2022. Today, extensions of financial analysis. The first thing, obviously, is to look at the numbers and to see what the state of that allegedly dead cat was. And the rumors of that cat's demise were apparently premature. That cat is climbing, for a dead cat, that cat's climbing a tree very well. Is this a bull day or a bear day, ma'am? You've got to be forceful. Bull day. Yeah. This one's really strong. Dow, it's an index of 30 stocks, big, huge, monster companies. It's up darn good. It's almost 0.8%, but then the S&P 500, the index of 500 companies, is up quite a bit, at almost 1.5%, and then the NASDAQ just tearing the store up almost 2.75%. That is not a mild up day. That is a really heavy up day. So money is flowing into equities. The bearish sentiment was just blown away by what's going on now. Oil, of course, unfortunately, the bad news is that oil is working its way perilously toward 90, on its way to 100, so you will probably see gas prices going up pretty soon. That could also be pushed up. Some of this is some concern about oil supply disruptions due to a potential war in Eastern Europe, which can, of course, that doesn't affect our oil supply. Oil is global. This whole idea, we should drill oil here for our own needs, that's not how commodities work. You drill oil in Texas, that oil could end up being a light bulb turning on in another part of the world. That's how the world works. So if there's a disruption in oil supplies coming out of Russia, then that is going to impact the price of oil everywhere. Ditto for natural gas. So that's the downside of trying to stop Putin in his tracks. Gold and silver are up. Money is just pouring into everything. Let its good times roll. For heaven's sake, even the bonds prices were up a little bit. Yield was down. I mean, that's nothing. I mean, that's just pretty much holding right where you are. That 0.7 basis point, that's down. That means the price went up, about 5 cents, 10 cents. But there's just money is just pouring in to the buying gold, buying silver, oil contracts, the stock markets. It's just a good day, a happy day. Unfortunately, in London, it wasn't. It was just one of those days where it bobbled around, but it didn't finish really up or down. 0.02% is nothing. That's just a flat day. That's nothing. It's insignificant. Now, Nikkei had a decent, strong surge. There was right after the lunch hour in Tokyo, it looks like the bears kind of grabbed a hold for a while, but then bulls came back at the end, so the world seems to be in a good mood right now. Very, all kinds of excitement. The prospect. Now, you can take the rumors and the talk for what it's worth, but there is a lot of concern that a war could happen. Generally speaking, wars are good for business. I mean, let's not be wrong about that. But they could, if there are supply disruptions, that's a problem. But overall, there is a sentiment that we are coming into the last phase of the COVID pandemic. We've got another variant out there, B2, sort of a twist on Delta and Omicron. They got together and apparently produced a kid. But there's a sense that the worst of it has finished up, and who's going to be killed? The people who want to die because of one thing or another anyway. And so we're going to be, the supply chains are beginning to shake themselves out. Productivity is going up. We got people working and all that. So there's a general optimism out there right now. Now, that could fall apart with someone saying boo, but that's what you're seeing here is just the people I talk to every day just seem to think that things are getting back to normal again. And the sense is that the Federal Reserve is not going to tackle inflation yet, which means interest rates aren't going to go up, and that means that there's not going to be a problem with those. So there you are. I want to show you some things here. These, and now I will upload these again, but it's important for you to have at least your calculators out today because I got to show you a few things. And this comes from your financial ratio sheet. But now I showed you the ratios last time. Get rid of that. That's causing me problems right now. I don't want to deal with. I'm going to copy these formulas over here. And then I'm going to show you some stupid pet tricks. The financial, we really, as I've said, we don't care a lot about the percentages themselves, the numbers themselves. What we care about are the percentages of changes and the percentages of one thing to another. Now, in these ratios that I showed you last time how to do, talked a lot about them, let me show you something here. Technically, you should have been shown this in Business 100, although I've found that the emphasis on that is not always so keen as it should be. Here's the company research resources that are available to you as a part of ISU, as a student, faculty member, even as an alumnus or an alumna, you have available to you these news resources. This is the professional stuff. This is when you're ready to stop looking at Wikipedia and be an adult in a very serious world where numbers and information and facts are done by people who do that instead of this little cluster of bullies that run Wikipedia and everyone else dances to their tune. This is S&P Global Net Advantage. And we'll have to get through here, and I'm going to walk you through it in case you didn't see it or it wasn't emphasized adequately. This is the stuff of business. Now, we're in S&P 500, right? The Standard & Poor's Global Net Advantage right now. Up here, you can type a ticker symbol. You can type the name of a business person. You can type the name of a country. This is a global search mechanism. I'm going to type in Target. Let's try that again. What the heck? Now, let me do something here. I don't understand why it's, I'm locked up is what's going on. Well, this is awkward. Usually it just jumps right out. Okay, company search. target. This is all the information that is available. Now, this is Standard & Poor's lives by the reliability of its information. It doesn't just guess. It doesn't find third sources. All of this is from the primary sources, all of this information. In other words, financials are drawn straight from the SEC. Other information is drawn straight from the company's documents. There's nothing here that is a secondary resource. So this is a place that you can cite as your source. Now look at this one. Ratios. Yes, those are the ratios that I was bitching about you guys calculating. So you see why I'm not all that big about, well, you better learn how to do these. I want to see 5 million ratios. They got them all here. Look at all these ratios. I mean, really? Anything you would want for a ratio is somewhere in this mess. Now, they do call them like what I call profitability ratios. They might call margin ratios or something like that. But they're all here. Now, I'm a fan of looking from the left, most recent on the left. That's just me. But here are all of return on assets, return on equity, return on common equity. There's your gross margin. There's your net margin. All of these are there for you. In fact, you can even choose more decimal places if you want. It almost becomes laughable trying to do these ratios on your own when we've got this resource here. It is important for you to do them once or twice just so you know how it's done. But here's the ratios right here. So you can do, and you can also go for comparables. Say, okay, show me what the ratios are for companies that are like Target. So you can do that. It's just a vast resource for you, and you can even copy and paste these tables into an Excel sheet yourself, or you can download an Excel sheet. I think there's a way to download it. Maybe not here. I can't. Oh, there it is. Download. Well, actually, you can download a lot of things here. But anyway, and you can look cash flow. I said cash flow. And you can look at, is this on the left, latest on the left? Okay. And you can look at what we look at in finance, the unleveraged cash flow from operations, and all this kind of stuff. And you can see that in this company, it's very healthy. This is a very strong company. So this is worth your time to know how to access this and to retrieve the information for classes where you have to do research. You may have already run into these classes where they say, research such and such company. What was there this and what was there what was that? And this is where you can do it. Is this just cite the source. This is the S&P Global Net Advantage. Now, let's look at something. TSLA, Tesla. Latest on the left, yep, there we go. Now you notice that they have actually been generating more and more cash from operations over the last few years. The one thing that you want to be careful about is where that cash has been coming from. Generally speaking, Tesla is only partly, only a small amount of Tesla has ever been a car company. Mostly it trades credits, energy credits, because it is an electric car company, so it gets lots of those credits, and then it can sell them to other auto manufacturers because they're still producing fossil, they're still using a lot of fossil fuel driven cars. So they make a lot of money this way. But at the same time, get down here, they had a dramatic increase in the amount of cash, net change in cash, up $13 billion in the latest reporting. That is staggering. And what you would want to do is go back and say, how did they pull that off? Operations put almost $6 billion. But then property, plant, and equipment, building factories and whatever, that was 3.1 out. And then this monster right here, they paid off $12 billion in debt. And they sold right about that same amount in stock. So in other words, they didn't actually get rid of 12, they didn't actually lose that $12 billion. They went from a debt company to an equity company. Now, why would you, if you were a company like Tesla, why would you want to change debt to equity? What can the debt holders do if you don't pay them? Do you know?
Shut down your company.
Yes. Remember I said they can shoot your dog, sell your Bible on Craigslist, and make your parents wear furries. That's bad, man. Bad. What can the shareholders do if you don't give them a dividend? They can cry about it. Tesla is making it so bulletproof so that it can't be shut down because it can't pay debts. That's what that was. And then, from financing activities, what is that supposed to mean? $10 billion from financing activities. Well, that would explain that monster upstroke of $13 billion. A lot of it would be explained right there. Financing activities. Anyway, there is something that is worth your while to know. You get here. You've got all of the ratios, all of the calculations. They're all done for you right here at any time for any company. If you're interested in a country and what its prospects are, what its growth rates are of resource exploitation, of national income, anything like that, you can type in the name of a company, of a country here, and get the down low on from the most authoritative places in the world. And also, you can get expert analysis. These Standard & Poor's does not hire cheap. They pay the best analysts in the world to give you their summaries, their look, their research on investment, on what would be a good, is this a good investment in stock, in debt, and industry surveys, what's going on in this industry, and how that fits together with what's going on at this company. There you go. So that's something that I wanted to bring to your attention before we go on. Now, I'm going to show you how to do something, and I'm going to show you a very difficult way to do it. Then I'm going to show you a somewhat easier way to do it, and then I'm going to show you a very easy way to do it. Now, why am I showing you the hard way to do it? Because that's probably the way you would be shown in most contexts. But see these numbers? It's clear that Target is doing well. It's growing. Okay, its revenues are growing. No question about that. You can see it. Duh. But you see, in our world, we really need to know just how well it's doing. Not just so that we know that, but it also, we need to know what kind of number we should use for a projection. It's nice to say, well, it went from 75 to 78 to 94 billion. Okay, now, what's the next year going to be? You can either guess or you can use something of a scientific basis to do it. Now, formula. Oh, let me bring up the calculator here. Okay, and I'm also going to have to bring up Google. You could bring up a number of services that would do this. Now, there are two formulas. One is the simplified version of the other. percent change, the total change in percentage, would be the ending amount over the beginning amount minus 1. That would be the total percent change. Now, if it was the ending and the beginning were 1 year apart, that would be an annualized. But oftentimes, we don't get answers 1 year apart. So, the annual, times 100, of course, to turn it into a percent. Sorry about that. Now, the annualized percent change would be the ending value over the beginning value to the 1 over the number of years minus 1. And then you times the result by 100%. Now, there's where the problem goes. You see how this formula is this formula if the number of years is exactly 1. It simplifies. Okay? But what happens if it's not 1 year? You, sir, decided that you were going to be an investor. You invested $186.15 on August 21st, 2018. And you sold the investment for $241.86 on May 4th of 2021. What was your annualized investment return? What was your annualized ROI? Well, you see, this right here, that would be actually one number of years would be the number of days over 365. So we got to keep that in mind that if we're going to do this, we need to know find out the number of years. And in order to find the number of years, we're going to get the number of days divided by 365. Now, one way you can do this, a little bit more of a brute force. Well, one way you could do it is just count the days. 1, August 22nd, 23rd. No, don't do that, for God's sake. Okay, you can go. There are a lot of these services. I mean, days between lyrics, for God's sake. Did I really do that? Days between Grateful Dead. What the hell? Ooh, Google's been using some mushrooms. Okay, what you could do here is you could just lay it out here. Okay, the month where you start was August, that would be 08. Day was the 21st, and the year was 2018. And then the ending date is May. Yeah, May. Wow, I can't even remember that far. May 4th, 2021. Okay. Now, usually, if it's a longer period of time, including or not including the day, is your choice. Calculate 987 days. Okay, So we now know that we're going to write this as the ending value 241.86 divided by 186.15 to the 1 over 987 divided by 365 minus 1. There's where the problem will come in, because you've got that compound denominator in an exponent. So you've got to watch your parentheses like a hawk to do this. But on we trod. So we can say, open the parentheses, 241.86, 241.86 divided by 186.15. Close the parentheses, now raise the power. Now you're going to have open the parentheses to trap the whole exponent. 1 divided by, now you're going to open a parenthesis to trap that denominator. 987 divided by 365. Close the parentheses. And then you got, that closes the denominator. Don't forget to close the whole exponent, minus 1. Now, a quick little mention here. You'll have some purists say, well, that should be 365.25, because you crossed a leap year between 2018 and 2021. You see that, why you would want a quarter? I mean, technically, yes. Okay, enter. Okay, that is a 10.17% return. No big thing. I worry about you, because I worry about myself putting the parentheses in the wrong place. And it's also, you've got to go through that pain in the butt of going to get the days. But here's an interesting thing. Apps, finance, if you go down to the deepest bowels of that finance cluster, you find DBD. August 21st, 2018, 2108.18, comma, the hell is the other one? Oh, May 4th, okay. 04 of May, 05.21. Close the parenthesis. Well, I'll be darned. Well, that's nice. I don't have to use Google. Well, you can even do it even better. 241.86. Close the parentheses. Oops, I mean, not close the parentheses. Divided by 186.15.15. Close the parentheses. To the, open parenthesis, 1 divided by, open parenthesis, apps, finance, DBD, 2108.18. comma, 0405.21, close the parenthesis, divided by the 365, close the parenthesis, and then you would want to close the parenthesis again to trap that denominator, minus 1, Well, that was a little easier. But I can even make it easier. Yes, I can. Apps, finance, TVM solver. Now, if you put in the N in years, you will get out answers in annuals. So I'm going to, there on the N, apps, finance, DBD, and then crank it through again, 2108, 0.18, comma, 04, 05, 20.21. Close a parenthesis, and then divide it by 365, so we turn it into years. Down, oh, that's 2.7 years. You actually see it now for the first time. Now, you're not going to do the I percent because that's your answer, that's what you want. Now, the present value, remember, always the present value goes in as a negative. So we invested 186.15, didn't make any payments along the way, but at the end, we came out with 241.86. Whoops. Take it back up to I percent, alpha solve, 10.17%. You notice that the nice thing about this app approach is that you don't have the possibility of keying in a parenthesis and screwing it up just because you accidentally put in a parenthesis in the wrong place or stuff like that. It's also faster because you don't have to find the days divided by 365 and all that. All you have to do is remember DBD is day, month, dot, year. Two numbers for each one. That's all you have to remember for DBD. So when I ask this on a quiz or an exam, hint, hint, nudge, nudge. If I ask this on an exam, you are free to do it whatever way you want. I think that this one is probably the safest way to do it. As long as you remember what to put in the different places, it's actually, this isn't hard at all to do it this way. And as a side benefit to this, you can do all kinds of scenarios, holding periods, and by the way, that one where you just take the end divided by the beginning minus one, that's the technical term for that is what's called the holding period return, the HPR. Now, in some cases, the HPR is going to be the annual. If it's you've got your numbers exactly a year apart, the HPR, the holding period return, is the annual return. But in a lot of situations, you need to annualize. And the reason we annualize is that we can then compare two different investments that took place for different holding periods. We've turned everything into annualized. Now I'm going to take you back over here and get out of this. I'm going to take you back to this sheet. Once you get your ratios all done and all that kind of stuff, and I'll upload this to the VeggieNet after the class. You got your ratios. And it's one thing, as I said, to say, okay, I can see that there's obviously growth here. But what is the degree of that growth? So I'm going to insert here a couple of columns. Between B and C, I'm going to insert a column, and then between C and D, I'm going to just insert these. Now, humor me. What I can do then is say equals, these are 1 year apart, so I've got my annualized. That's not an issue here. But it equals, whoops, didn't mean, open parenthesis, end over beginning, minus one. Now, Excel saw that we use dollars for everything. It's too stupid to understand that dollars divided by dollars is a percent. So we format that as a percent. Two decimal places. Now, I copy that formula. And I got that. So now I see that Target's revenues grew from in the 2019-2020 period by 3.66%. But now I can see that that growth rate really was much stronger. That growth rate went up by about six times to 19.78%. And then I can just copy these down. Now you're going to get a couple of div errors here because there were your divide the numbers weren't there. And you get the same thing here. There'll be more of them here, I think. Maybe not. You know, now I'm going to show you later in the semester how you can make it so you don't get those div errors. Those are not cool when you're presenting it in a professional way. And there are a couple ways you can get it so that it doesn't show a division error. The brute force way is just delete the suckers right away. However, now we've got some interesting... Okay, obviously, it's useful for us to know how much this company's revenues grew in each of these years. And I can also say, okay, I see that the revenues accelerated from 3.66 to 19.78. I can also see that my wholesale costs accelerated faster. Do you see that? See how your revenues, See how your revenues went up 3.66%, then 19.28%. Then your wholesale costs went up by 2.94%, but accelerated up to 20.62%. These are the deeper analytics when you're probing in. Now, some people just love the numbers, some people don't, but there's another use for these. The past is not what we really want to talk about. We want to talk about what's about to happen. Almost everything we do in finance, and in a lot of our subject matter in business, we need to project. We need projections. What are the numbers going to look like next year? Oh, do I use 3.66% growth on $93 billion, or do I use 19.78%? Percent growth on $93 billion, what do I use? This is actually very important. This is actually hugely important. How do I project? If I've got, especially in this case, you see, if these two percentages were about the same, I could use their average. Just add them up and divide by two, and I get a decent number for the projection for the next year. But unfortunately, here, that's not going to work. It's just not going to be the way those two numbers are too different. So what do I do? Do I use 3.66%? Do I use 19.78%? Do I add them and divide by two? That doesn't seem like a logical thing to do either. This falls under the subject of time series analysis. How do you move forward from where you are, especially when you don't have a clear indication? Or do I do a trend? 3.66%, 19.78%, 25.40%. You probably wouldn't want to do any of those. Here's one way you can do it. Instead of using an arithmetic mean, in other words, the average, you can use what's called a geometric mean. Now, a geometric mean is actually a variation on what I just erased on the board. What I can do for a geometric mean is I would take 19.78%, actually, technically, I should really do 1.1978 divided by 1.0368. I could do it that way. Or I could do it this way. 93.561 divided by 75.75356. Sorry about that. And I could raise that to the 1/2 power. You're saying, why that? The 2 is the number of years from first to last. Like if I had 5 years, I would do 1/5. The last year divided by the first year. And I would raise it to the 1/5. But here I have 2 years from the first to the last. So I'd raise it to the 1/2, and then don't forget to subtract your 1. Now here's what's going to come out of that. Why does this calculator turn off? No, seriously, why does this something about that just pisses me off. Oh, gotta save the battery. 7536. I know there's some aging, ancient engineer sitting in a cave somewhere snickering his ass off because I'm still bitching about it after all these years. Oh, it's 356. Close the parenthesis. Now, we're going to raise that to the 1/2 power and then subtract 1. That is the geometric mean. Do you notice it's not going, the arithmetic mean would be 93.561 plus 75.356 divided by 2 but this one would give us Let me clear that out. What I want to do is I want to take, see this number right here? I'm going to take the last year, 95.561, and I'm going to times it by 1 plus the geometric mean. Four decimal places. This is how I'll project 2022's revenues. I will say that the geometric mean growth rate was 11.43%. And therefore, if that continues on the 93... target will come in for the current, for the reporting year at 104.25. Now, a little later in the semester, just so I'll remember that, so we can see if that actually holds, okay, how good it is. But anyway, that's all I have for you today. I thank you.